welcome to episode 467 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and this is the show where we talk about consumer entertainment technology. Yeah, no Richard tonight. He's in Europe this week, but I might have done one better, bringing back a fan favorite. And you were kind of a co-host, I think, at one point, or at least enough times to be considered one. James Montemagno back on the show. Welcome back, James.
Wow, it has been a long time, Josh. It's an honor and a privilege on the side of the new fancy microphone setup over here in Seattle.
Well, I'm super glad to have you back. I know that you are somewhat of a gamer, and anybody who enjoys our gaming news is really going to like the show, because we've got a lot of gaming stuff to talk about, not a whole lot else. On the listener feedback side, one main email that I want to read to you guys, it is from Paul. He says, "Hey guys, I've been trying to make sure to sign my name as Lawn Paul," who is also frequently in our live stream, "to help distinguish me from the other Paul that listens and gives feedback. The most recent episode you mentioned that I sent in two pieces of feedback, but I only did one. Whoops." He said, "Just remember, Lawn Paul is the Sea of Thieves pirate that watches TV shows in the truck and yells at Josh in all caps." Yeah, that does actually make it a lot easier to distinguish between the two. So, Paul, thanks again for the message and for all of your feedback. And just because you wrote in, I'll let you know, I'm actually probably going to play Sea of Thieves again in the next week or two, I'm thinking. So that's going to make Paul really, really happy. And yeah, it sounds like James might play with me.
Yeah, I don't want to take credit, Paul, Lawn Paul, for the Sea of Thieves resurrection, you know, rejuvenation that Josh is going through. However, you know, I was kind of talking it up, and I'm super excited for the new game mode. I know we're going to talk about it later. I have a lot of friends that are in your seat because you played it early on, correct?
Yes, I played the beta and a little bit when it first came out.
Now, of course, you know, I got to give the blanket statement that, of course, I work for Microsoft. So these are unbiased opinions. But I did play Sea of Thieves early on. I was like, I don't get it. But I had some friends that were really dedicated to it that kept inviting me in and kind of showed me the ways of the Sea of Thieves. And the content that they've been adding over and over again has really improved the gameplay. And that's why I'm really excited about this new arena craziness that they got going on. But to be honest, it's really fun, especially if you're playing with people that know what they're doing. If you just go in by yourself, it's kind of like, I don't know what's happening. But when you get out there, it's pretty fun, to be honest with you, especially if you're just with some friends that are just want to chill for a few hours. So,
right. Right. So maybe real quick, especially for people who might not know you, just to explain a little bit of your potential bias there, you are a Microsoft employee, but you don't work in the Windows department. You don't work in the Xbox department. You're in the developer division, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So, I mean, the long history, of course, you know, me and the Digital Media Zone going back to when we did the movie podcast is long time in the Microsoft ecosystem and the developer ecosystem. I used to be really heavy into the media center ecosystem. I moved to Seattle to work at Seton on the My Media Center applications a long time ago. I did all of their mobile development and set-top box development, which some things were not released, unfortunately. But I moved on to different avenues and went to go work at a company called Xamarin, which got acquired by Microsoft, and now I'm at Microsoft. But I oversee our mobile developer tooling for iOS and Android specifically. So Microsoft developers that are looking to develop Windows apps, iOS apps, and Android apps or Mac apps, I'm the go-to. I do a lot of Xamarin development, and that's how, you know, Josh and I still keep connected every once in a while, talking about dev work and things that we're doing. So you are correct. I do well. So it's tricky now, because we like to reorg often. So technically
every like 6 months or so,
every even sometimes sooner than that. Mm-hmm. So I do work in Seattle and in Redmond. I was just on campus today. Now, technically the Windows parts of the Windows division kind of fall into cloud and AI, which is like the Azure division that you think of. But there's a lot of other things that are inside of that. So for instance, Azure, yes. parts of Windows division inside of there, developer tools, and a bunch of other things, but not the Xbox. The Xbox teams and the Mixer teams are on the other side of campus. So they are on the west side and we are on the east side. So I'm in building 18. They're like in all the cool, fancy studio buildings that are over there. It's very pretty. And then Nintendo is just up the road, actually. So there's a lot of cool things happening over there. But yeah, so that's why it's unbiased. While I am friends probably with a few people that are in the Xbox and Mixer areas, I don't work for those areas. Although I used to be a game developer, if you remember, Josh.
I do remember.
You know Shred Nebula is back on Xbox One. I just want to let you know my claim to fame of being a game developer, Shred Nebula, available now, $9.99. Maybe even cheaper. Nice. Let's look. Shred Nebula Xbox One.
I think it was on sale.
It was
a few months ago, and I think I mentioned on the show that it was on sale and that you made it and everybody should go get it.
$4.99. Now that is a deal.
That is a deal.
Pick that up.
And it's might be at an even better discount come Black Friday.
Yeah. You never know. I don't actually know. I literally made no money off that game, so I don't
right.
know.
So that's unfortunate. Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we get into the news? We've got one short, quick audio story, and then the rest is going to be gaming and Xbox stuff. So this is a really short story. Spotify, we love Spotify. I especially love Spotify. Use it all day, every single day. I'm a paying Spotify premium subscriber. And one thing that I have had the ability to use as a Spotify premium subscriber that free users haven't been able to do is I can stream to Spotify Connect devices, which is basically all of your smart speakers, lots of receivers, TVs, things like that. You open up the Spotify app and there's just a little option in there to say, play it on this other device. It could even be other PCs. And that's only been available for premium users. That feature is now coming to the free service. So there's no date, but it's in the Spotify SDK now. And the reason that's kind of important is because while it's ready to work on Spotify's end, all of the devices that you would use Spotify Connect to connect to need to be updated to this new version of their software development kit to be able to use this. So no actual dates on what products are going to support this anytime soon, but it should be coming soon if you're still not a paying subscriber for Spotify. And Spotify has really been doing a lot to make the free service even better for people. Recently, they also added the ability to have on-demand access to playlist. So you can make your own playlist and just listen to the playlist. Now you still have the ads that you can't skip, but at least you have some of that on-demand capability that you normally wouldn't get. But now you do with Spotify.
Huh. That's really interesting that it's coming to these devices, because I have been a Google Home user. I think last time I was on the podcast, I was telling about my transition to Android TV and Google Home in my house. Mm-hmm. And I've been really happy with the amount of things I've been able to drop off over the years. But I did get one of those Google Home smart displays from Lenovo. So this is before the Home Hub.
Right.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
And I got one of those because I was like, why not? This seems cool. And that runs Android Things, technically, and the Google Assistant. But when I got that I saw that I could actually stream Spotify free to it. So we've been doing that and setting Spotify free as the default over Google Play Music. And I can still say play with Spotify or play with Google Play Music, and Google knows. But I'm wondering if like they did a trial run or something with Lenovo and Android things before rolling this out to the probably actual API. Like, I wonder if they hacked together something to make it work in general.
I think the difference there is I think you've been able to just say, hey, play this song or whatever, and that works. But when you're doing that now, can you open up Spotify on your Android phone and control it that way?
Oh.
That's what this is.
Got it. So that's the differential. Well, I'll have to test that and get back to you and see. Because that would be... it's the thing where it pops up and it's really smart and it knows where it's playing.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, okay. I'll test that and get back next time I'm on the pod.
All right. So in like a year and a half. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully not that long.
Yeah.
All right, James, let's get into our gaming news. And the reason we have so much is Microsoft, for the first time in like more than 10 years, decided to host an XO event, XO 18, down in Mexico City. This is kind of like what Sony had previously done for in the past few years. They always had a big, huge fan fest like event in December. They're not doing that this year. And I think Microsoft said, let's swoop in and have our own event. And they did, and had way more news to share than I expected, for sure. So we're going to spend the rest, most of the rest of the show, covering all of the news that Microsoft had from XO 18.
Yeah, I really enjoy what Phil Spencer specifically is doing, especially around his E3 presentation and this XO event that they did. And the reason I'll say that is because, you know, I'm a huge Nintendo fan. It's pretty clear. It's my main console, my Nintendo Switch. And one thing, I also do an entire Nintendo podcast, which I'll plug at the end, I'm sure. But one thing that we mentioned about E3 time, and that Nintendo continuously has done over the last few years, are Nintendo Directs. Now, these are pre-recorded, kind of semi-live streamed events that happen all throughout the year. And sometimes they focus on around one game or multiple games or indies, for instance. And it kind of keeps that constant, just look at how we're invested in the ecosystem all the time for fans to be like, oh, wow, like things are happening, like Nintendo's listening. And like, this is what reminded me of what Nintendo is doing. Now the Xbox division is kind of doing some more of these events. I hope they keep it up, and I hope they don't only do it once a year. I hope they do some, you know, mixer content, or they do some like live stream content to keep it going, because it's really important. And to kind of launch it, they announced some amazing brand new kind of acquisitions in a way, just like they did at E3, which is my pick of E3, by the way, Josh, was when the Microsoft acquired The Initiative, Undead Labs, Playground Games, Ninja Theory, and Compulsion Games. I thought it was this super amazing signal of the Xbox division reinvesting into the things that gamers love, games. Josh, games, that's what it is, right? Games. right. If you don't have games, it's something Nintendo nailed, right? People play Nintendo things for Nintendo games. And Microsoft, over the years, had that roller coaster of exclusives, in-house, Halo, whatever, right? And they brought back these five studios to say, hey, we want these games. So they actually have now acquired more companies. So Obsidian and InXile are joining Microsoft Studios as the umbrella for all of these. Now, of course, you may know Obsidian, which they're based in Irvine, but they did Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, Fallout New Vegas, South Park, The Stick of Truth, Pillars of Eternity. Like, these all have other amazing games with amazing reviews. InXile, which you may know from Interplay co-founder Brian Fargo, they did Wasteland 2, Torment, Bard's Tale, which I've played, Wasteland 3. Again, all of these really great games. And there seems to be a focus here on RPGs, Josh. I don't know if you have seen that trend there.
Right. Yeah, it's a pretty obvious trend. Every single one of these games is a pretty massive role-playing game. I've played a couple of them, and they've all been really highly reviewed. I think maybe the only criticism that you could make of this is people keep saying they want more Japanese role-playing games on Xbox, and you're not going to be getting Japanese role-playing games from either of these companies, but these are still really, really great games from developers who have been in this industry forever. Like, a lot of the people at these studios have been making games since the 90s. So they know how to make good games. And yeah, I think these two studio acquisitions are a really huge deal. The other thing that makes me a little bit sad is we as fans, like, console exclusives, not a good thing for us. I don't want to have to buy multiple consoles. I would like to buy the one with the best software on it and play whatever games I want. And in that case, that would be buy an Xbox and play whatever games I want. So it's good for Xbox, which is good for me because that's my favorite console to play on. But I still don't really like the concept of studio exclusives or console exclusives.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, because if you look at the Switch, right, is the main example. Without the Nintendo games, what is it? You know, and just
right,
just like the Xbox, without the Halos, without the Gears, and without whatever, without these games that these companies are making, ideally, what they'll do is they will feed the exclusives of the AA games and hopefully crack one or two AAA kind of breakout new IPs is what I would hope. Again, I have no, inside baseball. I don't know anything about these. So me saying anything, I literally know nothing, but there's 13 game development teams at Microsoft. And you know, you're still going to get your Forzas, you're still going to get your Halos. And ideally these are going to fuel that. Now, something that Nintendo has been able to do with the Switch is that as their game catalog has grown and as they're selling more, the third parties just come along, and that's where those JRPGs come from. So it's kind of now up to Phil and other people at the Xbox division to make those kind of make those relationships happen. So you get the Nice America and the other companies come over that are publishing the Disgaeas of the world and some other JRPGs like Final Fantasy, right? It's up to them, you know. No company, no Microsoft, no Sony, no Nintendo can cover every single category and do every single one of them outstanding. And that's why there are the Ubisofts, there's the Square Enixes and the Namco Bandais of the world, because they do those extremely well. And that's not to say that they still can't partner with companies. If you look what Nintendo did early on with Namco Bandai to help publish or create, develop the games while they publish it, those things are probably still going to happen. Again, no inside baseball. But ideally, I think what this shows more than anything is that they're listening to the fans and making things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil Spencer keeps talking about he's making trips to Japan. He is trying to fix this problem where they're not getting the big Japanese games. We did get Final Fantasy 15, and actually Square Enix is a really great example of that, because just in the last couple of months, they've announced a ton of Square Enix stuff. A bunch of Final Fantasy games are coming to the Xbox. They, at this event, announced that Final Fantasy 13, all three of the Final Fantasy 13 games are now going to be backwards compatible. So they're working on it, but they haven't solved that problem, but they're definitely making big inroads in the first party game problem.
I think on the third party, kind of the Square Enix, maybe Square Enix finally figured out that like, if you publish the games everywhere, that like they'll sell more copies. I don't know if that's the thing. Well, I mean, you think of the PlayStation 2 era where PlayStation 2 was so dominant, it could just almost get a stranglehold on some of those exclusives, or it only made sense to go there. Where now you see even Square Enix, you know, like when they came out and they're doing everything for the Switch, even they're doing things for the Xbox now. And it's a sign that, hey, things are starting to change a little bit. And I think it's because, Josh, that maybe it's kind of starting to get easier to develop across these different platforms, the porting goes. Even if you look on Switch, like being able to bring Doom and Wolfenstein over there, for instance, like that's really impressive to say, like, hey, you can have a small team that can port these games, and now you have all these people that can enjoy it, and vice versa from PlayStation to Xbox to PC. So, no, that's, we'll see what happens.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. All right. They also had a lot of announcements around Xbox Game Pass. We talk about Game Pass a lot, but just in case you don't remember what it is, because all of these special things that Xbox does have fairly generic sounding names, Game Pass is their Netflix-like subscription for games. You pay them $10 a month and you get access to a catalog of over 100 games that you can download whenever you want, play whenever you want. It's the whole game. And you have access to it as long as you keep paying the subscription. And they're adding 16 new games over the next couple of months. A bunch of them are out and available now. The biggest one being PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, available right now as part of Game Pass. So pay your $10 a month. You've got PUBG now. You've already got access to Forza Horizon 4, Sea of Thieves, and all of the future first party Microsoft games. They've committed to releasing them day and date on Game Pass. So it makes a ton of sense to pay for the subscription. And then they also announced that coming in December, Ori and the Blind Forest, one of my favorite games of this generation by far, and Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. That's the game from Ninja Theory that one of the studios they acquired that they announced at E3 or Gamescom. I don't remember when that announced. I think it was E3. So that's coming in December. I love that game. That's one that we played for story players. And then they're also, they have a bunch of ID at Xbox games. These are all these indie games. A whole bunch of those that will be launching on Game Pass. So the day they come out, they will be on Game Pass. That's all really, really awesome stuff for Game Pass. And if you still haven't tried it, and $10 a month is like, I don't know. Well, you can get it for a dollar. How about a dollar to try the first month? I think you can try it for a dollar. You're going to love it.
I want this on the PC. I want a Xbox PC Game Pass, to be honest.
Well, this
with
works
you.
On PC, though.
Oh, does it?
Like all of the games that are Xbox Play Anywhere that are in the Windows 10 store or whatever, the Windows store, or I guess it's Microsoft store now. Those work. Like Forza Horizon 4, Sea of Thieves, all that stuff that's part of Game Pass and is Xbox Play Anywhere. This works. You don't have to have an Xbox for this.
What?
Now, not every game in Game Pass works on PC, but all of the games that are Xbox Play Anywhere are.
Ah, see, I'm learning. I'm gonna have to get on this. I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, they also announced a lot of ID at Xbox indie games coming. So that's the one thing that I you know, unfortunately happens is I spend some money on these indie games, and sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. And, you know, Secret Neighbor's on here, Thomas Was Alone is on here, which is also a very good game. But the nice thing about these, you know, the Game Pass, I think when they announced the Game Pass, like, this is like the best, like, it's just so smart, so incredibly smart. And I think the thing about these little, you know, smaller indie games that sometimes cost $10, $5, you're like, oh, I want to invest, maybe I don't, I'm not positive, you know what I mean? And I think if I had that on my Switch or something like that, that I'd be more likely just to play these games. And to, I'm sure there's some kickback to indie developers. I'm not sure, there has to be, right? Some profit sharing somehow. But yeah. But, you know, in general, I think the nice thing is that, well, I wouldn't have bought the game, but now I may. So we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And if you love the games, you get a discount if you want to purchase them. So maybe there's a couple of games that you just want to try out. You love them, but don't want to keep Game Pass. You get like a, can't remember if it's 10 or 20% discount to purchase the games.
I love it.
So yeah, it just makes so much sense.
Get on it. Well, another game that I've been super excited for since the first time it was announced, many 5-10,000 years ago, right. Crackdown 3. Josh, it's finally happening. That's correct. Crackdown 3 launching on Game Pass, Xbox One, and Windows 10. So I guess I can get my Game Pass and get it on my Windows 10 on February 15th, just in time for Valentine's Day, which is perfect.
Just in time for all of the other massive AAA games to be released.
Exactly. But what's cool here is that they announced a brand new multiplayer mode, Wrecking Zone, where like everything is fully destructible and crazy. It's going to also have cross play between Xbox One and Xbox and PC, I mean. And of course, it will also be enhanced for Xbox One X, which is cool. But more importantly, not only is Crackdown 3 launching, they are giving away the original Crackdown, which is a phenomenal game, completely for free, which is backwards compatible. And you can pick that up right now until November 13th. It's completely free. You can just go grab that. And it has Xbox One X enhancements. I don't have an Xbox One X, but if you did, you get sweet enhancements. You just go get
that. I loved the original Crackdown. Loved it, loved it, loved it. This weekend, I made sure to download this again. Wouldn't mind getting somebody on to play that, because that game in co-op was so much fun. Yeah, cool. Well, they also gave us a preview of what to expect for Black Friday. This seems to be a pretty common trend of this year. Lots of companies coming out way ahead of Black Friday and telling us what most of their deals are going to be. And with Microsoft, the same is also true. Their huge game sale, the digital game sale, it starts the day that we're going to release this podcast, November 15th, as long as you have Xbox Live Gold, which you can get for a month for a dollar. So there's no reason not to just pay the dollar, get access to Xbox Live Gold, early access to the sale, and when you're a Gold subscriber, you get bigger discounts on the games. So that'll be huge. That'll be hundreds of games on sale for sure. And then they'll also be discounting their hardware, of course. Xbox One S 1 terabyte bundles. These are bundles with games like Horizon and Shadow of the Tomb Raider and all that stuff. They're normally $300. They're dropping $100 off the price of those to make them $200 for a 1 terabyte Xbox One S with a game. That's a pretty sweet deal. And dropping the price of the Xbox One X down to $400. And that also includes a bunch of bundles. The Fallout 76 bundle ought to be included in that. There's a Shadow of the Tomb Raider bundle, Battlefield 5, lots of bundles there too. So if you're looking for a 1X, $400 is a pretty awesome price. Controllers are also being marked down to $40. This isn't as big of a discount, but all three of those hardware things that I just mentioned, the 1X, the 1S, and the controllers, if you buy any of them from the Microsoft store during the sale, they're going to give you a code for Gears of War 4. It's a $40 game that you're going to get for free with your $40 controller. That's a pretty sweet deal.
It's pretty good. Yeah. If you didn't have an Xbox One S, it's a great time. This holiday season is going to be real intriguing. I don't know if you and Richard had talked about the other bundles at all. Have you guys talked about the PlayStation or Switch bundles at all?
Well, not yet, because last week they weren't all announced yet.
Mm. Yeah. It's going to be the $200 showdown, right? This Xbox One S with games. Sony's doing a PlayStation 4 with Spider-Man, which...
Right. Oh,
good Lord. Yeah. Like, that's just
no brainer.
And then Nintendo's doing a Switch with Mario Kart 8, which is pretty great. They could have done better. I think they could have done a little bit more, but it's Mario. They're going to sell all of them anyways. Like, literally, they're just right. going to sell all the Switches. Like, let's just be honest. I was flipping through the Target gift guide, and literally the Switch is like everywhere. Like, it has a two full page spread, and Xbox and PlayStation are sharing a page. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, they're crushing it.
So the Switch bundle is going to be $200 also?
No, that's the difference. That'll still remain
$299.
So no difference in price, just a free game. They're doing their normal Nintendo 2DS with a free game, Super Mario Maker for $80. So if you don't want a full, you know, you got little kids, or if you just haven't picked up a Nintendo 2DS, I still have mine. There's like 1,000 games on it. Like stocking stuffers at this point. But yeah, so they're doing just that. Now, I'll be interested to see if that's the core or if anyone else does more. I don't think Nintendo really needs to do more. That's the thing. Xbox obviously needs to do the $200 because PlayStation. However, since the Switch still has unique value proposition, still a lot newer, still under 2 years old, you know, Nintendo, they're not going to drop the price until they have to. So
no,
but I would have liked them to include like a three month for Nintendo Online, because that would have given, they could have said plus all the NES games, you know, and that would have been a nice little bundle. So
That would have been a nice thing to include.
Yeah, cost them nothing. So Nintendo, right. Reggie, I don't know if you're listening to me, Reggie, get on that. Well, you know, I play on the PC, Josh. I play a lot of Switch, but I also play a lot of the normal games that you're playing on your Xbox on my PC, such as Sea of Thieves and Fortnite and a few other games. And one thing that I always missed from the Xbox was official mouse and keyboard support. Like, didn't we have this at one point on Xbox 360 or Xbox original or something? I swear it happened.
I don't remember being on 360, and I didn't have an original Xbox.
Yeah. You didn't have an original Xbox? You know, no. I was, you know, because my gamer tag's Motz, M-O-T-Z, and that was because I was an Xbox Live, like, beta tester, like, on the original Xbox. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to get a 4-character Xbox Live gamer tag, you had to be in super early.
Yeah. But guess what? Now you can use your mouse and keyboards on the Xbox One. In fact, you're already listening to this on November 15th. Your Xbox is already good to go because it drops on November 14th. Now, this doesn't mean that every single game out there is going to work. Developers are going to have to ensure that this works across the different games. But don't worry, because Fortnite will work. That's all people are playing anyways. So all they had to say was Fortnite, and then no one else cares about anything else.
Right, right.
But it will work out of the box later in November with, oh gosh, Teed 2, War Thunder, Strange Brigade, Bomber Crew, Deep Rock Galactic, games that I'm sure no one, I mean, sure, but somebody. DayZ is coming later down the road, and most likely more and more of these will light up because a lot of these are already on the PC, so I bet there's an SDK that they're going to have to install into their game and go.
Yeah, yeah, so... it's Vermintide is how that's pronounced.
Vermintide.
And these are all in addition to Warframe, which is what they had originally announced would be the first game to support keyboard and mouse, which is essentially free-to-play Destiny. That's what Warframe is.
Yep.
And Warframe has a huge player base. So that's awesome for Warframe. But Fortnite is kind of a surprise for anybody who's like, oh my gosh, but like add in keyboard and mouse support, it like everybody plays with a controller is going to get destroyed in Fortnite. Well, Fortnite already handles this. Fortnite has crossplay on PC and tablets and everything else in the universe already, and they already handle this. The other guys are the ones that still have to figure this out. You know, games like DayZ and stuff, that's really, really going to matter. And Microsoft is suggesting to these game companies, make sure you do something about this, because if it were Call of Duty and they just threw everybody into the same multiplayer lobbies that were on controllers and keyboard and mouse, all of the controller players would get wiped by the people with keyboards and mice. So, I mean, they're doing the right thing by making the game developers actually do the right things to support it instead of just enabling it for everybody and allowing the keyboard and mice players to just destroy all of us computer players.
Yeah, that is the one concern that I always hear. And I used to play, I still do play Paladins, and that was their excuse for not doing crossplay between PC and the Switch, is they're like, oh, well, you know. You know, mouse and keyboard, and that's what you hear over and over again. It's like, oh, well, you can't really play against a PC because mouse and keyboard. Well, you know, this is going to be something that is going to happen, so they'll have to figure out and dynamically adjust. So I think it'll be good as long as, again, it's thoughtful. And I will say that while, you know, most USB mice and keyboards should work, putting that in quotes, there's a lot of mice and keyboard out there, and, you know, ones from decades ago, they are going to start having officially... designed for Xbox, which is a program, and they'll have a dedicated Xbox key on them. They could have a bunch of other things like dynamic lighting built right in. And currently, Razer is an exclusive partner that will be shipping these mice and keyboards, and they will be unveiling things in a little show called CES that a few hundred people attend in January.
Yeah, just a tiny little show. You've probably never heard of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's not a big deal at all. Right. And that's... pretty much it. I did mention Final Fantasy 13 games all coming backwards compatible. One other game that I wanted to mention that is backwards compatible because I loved this game on Xbox 360, and that is Civilization Revolution. It's Civ, but it's scaled way down to a way that makes more sense to be played on a console as opposed to a PC. I loved that game, and I will be downloading this on my Xbox One. Maybe tonight. I really want to play that game again. It was great.
Did we not talk about the Sea of Thieves, like, arena mode? Where is that? Why is that not on here?
I didn't put it in the notes because I didn't realize you were a big Sea of Thieves player. So I wasn't going to go into, like, you know, they announced some new stuff for Sea of Thieves and some new stuff for State of Decay. And, you know, we don't normally get super deep into the individual games.
Yeah.
But if you want to mention what's new in Sea of Thieves, I know Paul would love it if you would mention it.
All right, so they're getting a new competitive mode. So if you've ever played Sea of Thieves, it's a pirate-based game. And the entirety of Sea of Thieves, you get your crew together, usually 2 to 4 people. You get a boat, and you go on quests. And sometimes it's to go find treasure chests. Sometimes it's to, you know, kill a bunch of enemies. And you are technically in a world with a bunch of other crews. And they can come and hijack your ship. They could go all out for you. But it's a really big map. So often people are friendly. And they have like kind of signals. But Sea of Thieves is putting this new arena mode, which is coming in early 2019, which they announced at XO18. And what's cool here is that the crews themselves, the entire competition is to get the most treasure. But my assumption here, they had a little bit of trailer for it. It was like 2 minutes long. My thought is that they're showing all of these ships and crews like fire at each other. It's really close quarters. So I'm wondering if they're shrinking down the map so you can only go to certain maps, or maybe everyone is in a big bus, and then out of the bus, like you drop your boats down into the water, and then it's an ever shrinking, you know. Everything can be a Fortnite reference, by the way. So everything's a bus, and they just drop out of a bus, obviously. So, or you know what it could be is like from Super Mario Brothers 3, where it's like the ship with the propellers in the air, and then that flies over the map and you drop your ship down. That'd be amazing.
That would be way better.
Oh my gosh. Or there's like no ships, and like you have to land on a ship and like, I don't know, you like glide down. Anyways, this is my hopes and dreams for Sea of Thieves. So, you know, it'll be a separate mode from my understanding from the trailer that was announced, that you can just go on. Like, I just want to go on and play in this, you know, big ocean and you know, get a bunch of treasure and blow up a bunch of ships and make that the right primary focus. If you're looking to switch it up a little bit, boom, you're good to go.
Cool. All right. One more gaming story, and it's not Xbox and it's not Nintendo Switch. It's PlayStation. PUBG, we mentioned it a lot. It's coming to PlayStation officially now. We mentioned this last week as a strong rumor. December 7th, available on PlayStation 4 for the normal price of $30. So it's 1 year later than Xbox, and you're going to have to pay $30 to get it, whereas now you can get it on Xbox as part of Xbox Game Pass. So you could kind of look at it as free. Sort of, not really, but it sure feels that way when you're getting so many games.
Yeah, how's that PUBG doing? How would you say?
Oh, it's doing a lot better than it was when it first came out. There's a lot more maps. They've added more modes. They added a training mode so that you can actually get time with the guns and get used to using them and all of the different attachments and all that stuff. It is way better than it was when it launched about a year ago.
Yeah, I always go,
and the frame rate's a lot better too.
Oh, that's good. I always go on to the Twitch browse, and I always see, you know, Fortnite's number one. The hot craze, of course, is Call of Duty Black Ops. Warframe is actually number four game being streamed right now. Maybe a big streamer is playing it. But yeah, Fortnite's or PUBG's like pretty down there. It's only got, you know, it's down by the Battlefield 4s and the Warcraft 3s of the world. So I'm kind of curious, but maybe with the PlayStation 4, you get a bunch of new streamers. It kind of gets a rejuvenation, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll be really interesting to see how it climbs. I mean, technically, Red Dead Redemption 2 only has 11,000, and that just came out, right? And I thought everyone was going to. But I could see how that would go down. So maybe PUBG will get a kind of a big push when it comes out to PlayStation. A lot of people on that, right, on that machine. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right, well, that's it for our news. We always like to wrap up the show by talking about things that we've been doing in our entertainment centers, like hardware-wise, or things that we're watching, games that we're playing, movies that we've watched. I'll go first while you think about what you want to mention. Most of mine is the usual stuff. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, NHL, finally finished the latest DLC for Overcooked 2 today. Played some more Forza Horizon 4 this week. I want to talk some more about that game. The more I play it, the more I think Forza Horizon 3 was a better game. Sorry. I still love it, but I think Forza Horizon 3 was better. Maybe I'll talk about that more next week because we don't have a whole lot of time left here. Played a whole lot more Until Dawn on my PS4 this weekend. I'm almost done with that, and I am going to finish it. But I don't want to, but I'm going to, and then I'm never going to play another horror game again. I'm done with horror games. I don't like being scared and stressed out when I'm playing games. And in terms of TV, got finally caught back up with The Good Place. That show is still so, so funny. And of course, some Penguins hockey and some college football over the weekend. So that's it for me. James, what's going on in your entertainment center?
Yeah, so a lot has changed since the last time I'm on. So I'm a one console type of guy. I'm just a Nintendo Switch type of guy now. I still, you know, crushing the Android TV, playing a lot more on my PC. So, yeah, so on the gaming side of things, primarily on my Switch. So I've been playing a little bit of Sea of Thieves off and on with some buddies whenever they want to jam out. I do play a lot of Nintendo Switch. I won't go too deep into it. I'll pitch my show. Does that sound about like a good idea?
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
So I have a show called Nintendo Dispatch, nintendodispatch.com. Josh will put it in the show notes. It's a weekly show. It comes out every Wednesday, covers all the news from the world of Nintendo, game releases, and then we spend a good amount of time talking about what we're playing. So on the Switch side of things, I have been playing Paladins. That's my free-to-play game. Kind of that's my daily check-in, just see how things are going. But I am playing two specific games. One that's always on my radar is Pinball FX3. Just always playing Pinball FX3. And the Williams Tables came out not too long ago, within the last month, which is The Getaway, Medieval Madness, and Fishtales. $10. Absolutely phenomenal. Fishtales is free, so you can just get that. I love pinball. I love in-life pinball. I love digital pinball. I love everything about it. I also played a game called This is the Police 2. Do you know about this game at all?
I know a little bit, but not much. I didn't know there was a sequel.
So I didn't know there was a first one. So This is the Police is an Ubisoft or THQ Nordic game, published by. And it's very different. I thought it was going to be more action-y or as far as like turn-based goes, because when you watch the trailers, you see like a grid-based system where you're controlling police officers trying to take down bad guys. You can only make so many moves and you can tase them or shoot them, but it's actually more of a management game in a way. So you have a set of officers and this beautiful story, like the graphics, everything is voiced over. Like, it's very impressive. I got this game for $15 on my Best Buy Gamer Club Unlimited plus I had like a $10 coupon, so I got it for like $10 or $12-$15. It's like normally $30. So you manage a crew of police officers day to day, and you get this overworld map where crimes or different things are happening, and you have to send them out and manage them and equip them, and you can hire new police officers. It's very interesting. If you're type of into that game, I talk on the podcast on the Dispatch, and I always go, I can't decide if I love or hate this game, but I can't stop playing it. Like, am I having fun playing it? I don't know, but like, things are good about it. So Pinball FX3, and then Paladins, and that. And on my mobile devices, I've been playing a lot of Nintendo's Dragalia Lost, which is a phenomenal mobile game that they have. It's kind of like I forget what they call them, like catch 'em or something. I don't know. I don't play a lot of mobile games, but it's fun. It's good. It's free. I've had to not spend any money at all on it, and it's just a fun little game to play. On the TV side tonight, I am going to go see Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm very excited about it at the Cinerama, which is the best movie experience in the entire world, which is very exciting. I've been wanting to go see it for a while, which is very cool. And on the TV side of things, I've been catching up on my Modern Family, Superstore, which is absolutely phenomenal. We are behind on The Good Place, but we will get caught up. And I am still into The Last Man on Earth. I don't know why I like that show, but I do. It's ridiculous, and I can't help myself. Oh, and we're watching Friends again for the eighth time, so there's that.
Nice. Yeah. Richard loves Superstore.
So good.
He loves that show.
It's so good. It's so... I don't know. Something about it just, I don't know. It just talks to me.
Last week, I think he said he would put it in his top five shows of all time.
Wow. I don't know about top that. I'm up there. That's up there, but it's good. It's definitely good.
Yeah. All right. Well, James, that's it for us. You mentioned Nintendo Dispatch. You're all over the place, though. Are there any other places you want to plug? Twitter? I know you've got a couple of other podcasts. What do you want to plug here?
Sure. So you can find me everywhere on the internet. My Twitter is James Montemagno. That's where you find me talk about development stuff, game stuff, all sorts of stuff. I also live stream on Twitch on Fridays and Saturdays, and usually coding, and then random game streams throughout the week on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/James Montemagno. It's my name. And I do have a podcast for development called Merge Conflict, mergeconflict.fm. I also run an entire podcast network called Soundbite, soundbite.fm. I got a bunch of other podcasts and awesome podcasts on there. So if you're interested in listening to more podcasts because you're actively listening to a podcast, there's probably something on there that you would like. So give it a go, soundbite.fm. And that's it.
Cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show this week. Before we get out of here, if you want to find us, I'm at Josh Pollard, websites at DigiMediaZone. Richard, even though he's not here this week, you can find him on Twitter at Richard Gunther. All the rest of our stuff, our other podcast, just head on over to thedigitalmediazone.com to find all of that and all of the show notes. All of the links to James's stuff will be there, of course. And then also join us. We normally do the show live at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. Couldn't quite make that work this weekend or this week, but hopefully next week we can. James, thanks again. It is always so much fun to podcast with you.
Absolutely. Anytime. I am here for you, Josh.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 467. I was joined this week by James Montemagno, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.